'em pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pop from MMA takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Woo! Woo! What's up with the what's up, huh? Man, I gotta wake up a little bit for this one. I had one podcast juice left in my fridge all day. Could have went out and got some more, been a little busy, whatever. Doesn't matter. Stayed for the show. So I'm a little lagging right now because I didn't have any podcast juice throughout the day to wake me up. Caffeine is powers his body. So we got some here. Salud. That's good stuff. Just took a shower, hair a little kind of crazy. Dope shirt if you're watching on the YouTubes, which you should be. MMA Takes Podcast on YouTube. Go subscribe. Trying to get the 1600 by the end of the year. Dope ass shirt. Eric and Florian, Selector Fighter, Old Street Fighter. Let me move the mic here. Old Street Fighter kind of thing. Average Joe Art did this. Available on johnanik.com. It's the only one with my face on it. My kids think it's very, very cool. But all the shirts there are dope. They feel great. They fit great. Kind of got like a weird body. I'm a little hunchy. I'm big. I got a long torso. I'm thick. So shirts kind of fit me weird. These fit gorgeous. So I believe you me, what Michael Bisping says, these shirts will fit you pretty nice. But we got a fight night. And I ain't going to waste no time because I ain't got energy. I ain't got energy to bullshit around. You know what I mean? Bellator is Friday night. I'm plugged in pretty deep, and I just found out Bellator 301, which is a really good card, is tomorrow. I found that out yesterday because I saw the press conference, whatever. You got some good fights, man. You got AJ McKee, who I'm high on. You got Patchy Mix, who I'm high on. Sergio Pettis. You got that Sabatello guy who thinks he's the new Conor McGregor. He's got like 12,000 Instagram followers, but he acts like he's like the king of the world. Him against Stotts. The Ukrainian kid, which I can't remember his name, versus Jason Jackson. Decent little card. Bellator is really just, I know they're like pretty much done. Like PFL is going to buy him and then they're going to operate as Bellator for a few years. And then I don't know the exact details, but they're just for a guy who is always on MMA Twitter and who is in the know, caught me by surprise. It caught me by surprise. Bellator, no wonder you're a sinking ship. But this weekend, Saturday, I have my beautiful daughter's three-year-old birthday. What time do the fights start? Saturday is something that I should have already known because she has a birthday party on Saturday. They start at 2 p.m. because of fucking course they do. The one time while I'm having something with the family, they got to start at 2? You couldn't put these on at 6 or 7? God damn. So I will be watching from my phone for most of these at my beautiful daughter's third birthday party. It's Care Bear themed. You heard that right. Care Bear themed. Wife is, again, she's doing much better and she's a busybody. So she's up and at them getting these things done. And so we're all excited. But I'll be watching from my phone from that. Maybe not be super active on Twitter. But, you know, hopefully, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But before we go, I think I'm distracting people on the video side. Audio side, you're probably like, wow, this guy's voice is great. No distractions here. Keep talking, Brian. Thank you. Thank you, audio side. But the video side, I think I'm distracting you because I got a really good mustache going. I mean, I had a buddy growing up who was Dominican. And his 10-year-old brother, I'm not even kidding, his 10-year-old brother had a better mustache than I have right now. I'm 37. So this is pathetic. All right, let's get to the fights, man. A lot of flipping and flopping. Kind of hard to find some of these lines as well. Some books have them, some books don't. I only rock DraftKings Sports. DraftKings Sportsbook, excuse me. Not sponsored. People think I'm sponsored. I'm not. That's just the Anakin Florian thing. So I just kind of stick with one book. But I had to go to a couple different books to find some lines to kind of build some of these things up because things are kind of going in the dumpster. And then the one fight, I did not look up footage of the guy at all. And I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Maybe we can do it together. But first Friday night, CLD, Christian Leroy Duncan, -400 versus Dennis Tululian, who is a +285. I got these off another very, very popular website. Again, I think the line or the card has moved a lot, the paper I got. So I'm not going to go head to tails the right way. This is just kind of how we're starting right now. So Dennis Tulalian, 1-4 in the UFC. Excuse me, 1-3 in the UFC. The guy stinks, right? He knocked out Jamie Pickett in a back-and-forth fight. You know, he caught Jamie Pickett. And Jamie Pickett isn't like this world beater. He's pretty tough. He's pretty durable. He's not like an easy guy to knock out. But, you know, Jinyoung Park subbed him. You know, Gregory Rodriguez TKO'd him on the ground. He got subbed in his UFC debut. You look at his record outside the UFC, it's a lot of subs, a lot of finished losses. The guy's got one way to win, that's bang you out. You know what I mean? Bang you out! And, you know, he's fighting, coming off the couch, essentially. I think he was in Vegas, so he got the CLD fight. And Christian Leroy Duncan's a guy from England, old great England, sound like from London. He is very hyped. Laid a complete fucking egg against Amar Petrosian his last time out. I mean, a complete fucking egg. Didn't know what he was doing. He looked very green in that fight. His UFC debut, he won by an injury. He looked okay against Petrosian. Looked absolute dog shit. He's got a high number here, but I've seen enough tape of CLD, Christian Leroy Duncan, to know that he is talented. If he lays another egg, he'll never make it in the UFC. You have to beat Dennis Tulian. And not only do you have to beat Dennis Tulian, you have to fucking finish him. So that's what I'm playing here. This is my send them home right off the bat. Give me CLD. Give me a slime ball parlay candidate as well. I like the guy's talent, but he needs to step it up. He needs to go out here. I don't care how he finishes him. TKO, injury, whatever, submission. The guy's weak on the ground. CLD's got a couple submissions outside the UFC. You got to get him out of there. A little close decision win ain't doing it. You're minus 400. You have a big name. London's kind of popping right now with Tommy Aspinall and Leon Edwards. The London MMA scene's blowing up, or it has been for a while. It's been bubbling. Now it's blowing up. You got to come out here as a guy who has a lot of the London media supporting you, or UK media supporting you. Not just London, excuse me. You got to show up and you got to finish this fucking guy. You got to finish him within two rounds too. So that is a play I'm probably going to play. I'm going to finish him under. They probably have it set at 1.5. I probably have it pulled up. Nope. Can't find lines. Again, this was no props available for this, but I like to finish. I like to finish early between 1 and 2. You know, going to be some crafty ways to play that. But give me the send them home. Give me Christian Leroy Duncan. Give me slime ball parlay. I'm out of breath. That's good stuff. That is good stuff right there. Let's move on. Next fight, Lucas Alexander, minus 550. I think this line is a moving. He is fighting, how do you say this guy's name? Jacka Suri? He is a plus 400, 535, plus 400. So Lucas Alexander looks like he came down. I got these lines yesterday against Jacka. Jacka was plus 410 yesterday. Jacka is a striker through and through. He has nothing else. Chin, questionable. He got put out in his road to the finals. Takedown defense, kind of non-existent, right? Weak strength of schedule for who he's been fighting. 13-3 record, but again, he's got some crafty stuff, I guess. I don't know if it's crafty, but he's willing to throw some spinning shit, right? And you know, that's how he won on the road to the UFC. But then again, it's just the chin just not there for me. The durability's not there for me. They got Lucas Alexander, who I believe is taking this on relatively short notice. Kind of a scrappy dude from Brazil, doesn't have the best UFC record. Isn't like this world beater or whatever. The beginning, this giant number, you know, most people might be want to run away from this number considering Lucas Alexander's 1-1. Had a nice one against Steven Peterson, couldn't get the finish, but you know, landed 85 strikes. Steven Peterson's a pretty tough guy, and then lost by rear naked choke to Jonas Humberto, who's fighting on this card, who's an absolute fucking stud. So 1-1, you know, he's a solid guy stepping up on short notice to make this fight happen. I like him here. I like him against Jekka. The big number scares me. He was going to be my send him home. I end up walking that back because a big fucking green hammer got dropped on my head. Hey, yo. Here we go. Green hammer time. Last week, I admit it that I you know, I didn't do the show, but I admit it on the recap show. If you haven't seen that, go watch that. MMA Takes Podcast on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. I admit it that it was tough for me to find the green hammer. It was tough. I didn't phone it in, I want to say, but it was tough. I went with something that was, you know, plus 700, really isn't a green hammer spot. We're looking for plus money parlay or props, or even minus money props to throw multi-units on. You don't really throw a multi-unit on plus 700 unless you have, like, some inside information, right? I had Yuri by submission, bad. But this is something that I like because Lucas Alexander has some finishes on his record. He's pretty good. Landed some good strikes. He knocked down Steven Peterson one time. Jacku, who I think is chinny. I don't think he's a good fighter. I think all his fights, besides the road to the UFC, were pretty weak opponents. So I looked at this green hammer, this big old fucking green hammer, and I said, you know what? Hammer the under. Under 1.5 plus 124. This bet has already been placed. Go to DraftKings, MMA Takes Book or whatever. So the green hammer is Lucas Alexander and Jekka Sari, if I can pronounce his name right, but I'm probably not. Doesn't fucking matter. Under 1.5 plus 124. That is a multi-unit prop play for this big old boy right here. I tell you what, every time this gets, I've only smashed one thing with this, and that's going to change, you know, because I need to just fuck. Every time it wins, every time I win with this big green hammer, I'm going to smash something. That's a guarantee, okay? That's a fucking guarantee that you can take to the bank. All right, Lucas Alexander's my pick. Green hammer is the play. Now move on. Charles Johnson, plus 124 versus Rafael Esteem. Esteem? Is that how you say his name? Here we go. Bad eyes. Esteva? Esteema? I don't know. Rafael, let's do that. He is a minus 148 favorite. This line is wacky to me. Charles Johnson is a solid fighter. He's got belts outside the UFC. Rafael came in on the contender series and looked decent. Won by knockout, overwhelmed his opponent, landed takedowns, landed good strikes, but the guy he fought isn't super elite. Charles Johnson has good wrestling, unique, funky striking, good cardio, has been in there with some really tough dudes and hasn't been finished either. He hasn't won all the fights, but he hasn't been finished either. And it's been really close fights that he's come close to. I mean, he made his UFC debut against Mohamed Makhachev. Unanimous decision loss, rattled two off. And then his next two was a split decision loss and a loss to Cody Durden, which, you know, Cody Durden just landed more takedowns. Other than that, it was an exceptionally close fight. And Cody Durden's a real dude. I'm going Charles Johnson here, plus 124. I think over 2.5 is a great play. I think this fight will probably see the judges' scorecards. But Charles Johnson seems motivated. He's tweeting out. Y'all motherfuckers must have forgot. You know, this guy was a champion elsewhere. He's in the UFC, hasn't really found his footing. He's 2-3 in the UFC. But I really think we're going to see a coming out party here. I think we're going to see Charles Johnson kind of use some of that funkiness to help him here and slow down Rafael. Rafael's going to come out like a bat out of hell. I think Charles Johnson's durable. He's tough, hard to finish. And I think the later this fight goes, it's better for Charles Johnson. Give me the over, which I can tell you what it is right now because I believe there is a prop for this. So over 2.5 is minus 230. I'm not afraid of that number. Give me the over 2.5. Give me Charles Johnson at the plus money, plus 124 currently. That's what I've written down as well. Not a lot of action in this fight, but Charles Johnson dog. Could have been a dog lock, but I didn't. But, you know, the dogs are barking.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Okay, it's a dog. I mean, you're not going to get a more veteran, well-rounded dog than that against a guy who's making essentially his UFC debut. So, yeah, I like that spot. Next up, you got Chad Eng. I always fucking can't get this guy. Chad Anheingler, Canadian boy. Shouldn't be that hard for me to say. Chad Chad. We're going Chad because this is just fucking annoying. People think this is a bit. It's not. It just doesn't work. Plus 160 versus Jose Johnson, minus 192. Another funky line for me. There's a gentleman. I wish I could remember his name. I want to shout him out. He's always in the live chats or whatever. When Chad doesn't fight, and there's another fighter that fights that might not be, you know, to a certain level, he always goes, he's as bad as Chad Anheingler or whatever. And it's like hammering Chad. And I don't think Chad's like a world beater or anything like that. But I think he's like kind of a solid guy. You got Jose Johnson, who's fought everyone, who's been everywhere. He's good off his back. He's long. He's lean. He can strike. But and then the line has moved as well. Being a minus 205, 2-1 favorite over Chad, who I think is crafty, who I think can strike, who I think can prevent it from going to the ground and make this a lot tougher a fight than people give this credit for. I think he's got enough power to scare Jose. Jose has been knocked out before. He's good off his back, but I wouldn't say he's a dominant wrestler on top. 2-1, pass on that. You know, the steal line from the Dogger Pass podcast, Dogger Pass. You know what I mean? I don't want to rip off their bit, but I mean, listen, this is, you're going to lay one. I'm going to play the 170 plus 170 over Chad. I mean, I know he's not a great fighter or anything like that. And Jose can go out there and just absolutely look like a 2-1 favorite, right? I don't think he will, but he could. But I like, I'm all over Chad here. I like Chad +170. I know lines move by +160 written down here. And give me the dog, back-to-back dogs. And can we make it three in a row? Jonathan Pierce, -130 versus Johannesson Brito, +110. So I picked this on the Anakin Florian. The Anakin Florian podcast is up already, if you can say on the t-shirt. Love this fight. Jonathan Pierce is a guy who John Anik cannot play favoritism. He's an absolute professional. He's the most unbiased guy there is. When they call fights, you can say things about Bisping, or DC, or maybe even Cruz a little bit, Paul Felder. You can't say that about Anik. He's not biased at all. But I can tell guys who he roots for, and he roots for Jonathan Pierce. He thinks JSP is a promising guy. I don't disagree with him. I think Jonathan Pierce is a great fighter. The ugly Joe Lozon loss is way in his rearview mirror now. He's rattled off so many wins. Cardio is a weapon for this guy. Ground and pound wrestling. His scrambles are great. He doesn't really lose position ever, but he's going against an absolute fucking killer, muscle-bound freak in Johannesson Brito, who can clip you with just short shots and put you out. I don't like the height difference for Jonathan Pierce here. As the grappler, he's going to really have to get under and have a great drop single to a blast double to get on the hips of Brito, who is an incredibly powerful guy, who's also a pretty good fucking grappler himself. Got some good submissions on his record. So, yes, I'm going three dogs, back-to-back-to-back-to-back dogs. Give me Johannesson Brito.
Hello?
Dog lock of the night.
Dog.
+110, little puppy dog. Not the biggest dog in the world, but I do like Johannesson Brito here. I think he might finish as well. So let's see if there's the prop for the finish. I believe there is. So Johannesson Brito by KO, +275 by submission, +450. I don't know if he can get a submission. It'd be a club and sub. Jonathan Pierce would almost have to be dead for him to get submitted, but because he's very good on the ground. He's crafty. He's scrambly. +275 by TK or by KO. Add it to my card. I like it. I'm on Johannesson Brito. When I looked at this card, before I even got the lines, I thought this fight was one of the better fights on the card. I love Brito. I faded him in the past. He's a little muscle ball. And Jonathan Pierce is hittable. And the length, I think, is going to give him problems here, baby. Now, again, I don't want to be Luca Fury and always contradicting everything I'm saying. I'm making a stand. But Jonathan Pierce wouldn't surprise me if he goes out there and dominates, right? His grappling, his cardio is that good. But I don't see that happening. I see Brito giving him fits, giving him a fight and clipping him at least at one point in this fucking fight. So give me Johannesson Brito. That's three dogs back to back. Now let's go to the heavyweights here. Mick Parkin, -360 versus Kai Machado. Some big boys here. Being a big boy, you think I would just absolutely thrive on the big boy picking. I'm not so much. I like Mick Parkin. Mick Parkin's going to play here. I'm not going to lay it out for you and then not pick Mick Parkin. I think, again, English MMA is coming a long way. This is a big boy here. Good on the ground. He's okay on the feet. Volume, great. Jamal Pogues fight. Listen, Pogues is a great great athletic heavyweight. He came in fat as shit for the Mick Parkin fight, which was surprising. Laying at 36 strikes. Mick Parkin landed at 95. Should have had a finish. Didn't. Got the unanimous decision. Got to finish on the Contender Series with a rear naked choke. And again, he's crafty. He's good on the ground. He's kind of good everywhere. Don't let the body fool you. There's a little bit of cardio in there. There's some cardio in this guy. He knows how to move. He knows how to work. 6'4", 79-inch reach. We got a big kid here. And we got Kai Machado, who I know coming to the Contender Series, I haven't watched a ton of footage of him, and I should have. And maybe that's why, I'm a little sheepish on putting Mick in anything. Parlays or props, whatever, because again, heavyweights have burned me in the past. He landed 121 strikes against Kevin Savarsky. Kevin Savarsky stinks, right? The heavyweights that they have on the Contender Series are usually not top notch. And I know Mick Parkin's coming from the Contender Series, so this is kind of a perfect matchup to see what we got. Yeah, we signed these guys, but let's see what we got in these guys. Camachado, again, decent little striker. Didn't land for a takedown in his Contender Series fight. I think he's going to maybe want to kind of keep a fight on the feet here. Mick Parkin, I think, is just going to mix everything up. -360 is a little big to play for a heavyweight debutant, considering you never know what you're going to get. You know what I mean? I'm not a heavyweight whisperer like my guy Christian is. I like Mick Parkin. -360, I think I'll play it maybe by submission. TKO if a finish, maybe, but I don't have a great read on this fight. I don't. I'm telling you 20 different ways I was going to win. I'm going to take Mick Parkin. I probably won't play at money line because minus 360 scares me. I probably won't be able to find a prop I like either. So this might be a pass for me, but I like Mick Parkin in this fight. All right, next up, Lucy Padova, plus 160 versus Alan Perez, minus 192. This line, again, is kind of weird to me because I think both females are, they just really haven't shown much. Lucy Padova's been in the UFC since 2017. She has fought fucking everybody. And then Alan Perez, Aylin Perez. Yeah, I think it's probably Aylin. Aylin Perez, there you go. You finally said the name right, Brian. 1-1 in the UFC. Beat Ashley Evans-Smith. Big fucking whoop. Ashley Evans-Smith has been around for a long, long time. Getting a win. You got submitted by Stephanie Egger in your debut. And she likes to twerk or whatever when she wins. Shakes that ass, all that stuff. That's cool. That's, you know, we're into it. Show a little personality. The interpreter fucking checked her out last time. We all saw it. We've all seen the mean guy. You're checking her out. But I'm going to go experience here. This is another, it's not quite a bowl of spaghetti fight. And this definitely isn't an I know chicks fight because I don't have a strong read on this fight. But I like Lucy Padova here, plus 160 for just the fact that she's kind of the vet. And I think she knows how to win fights. I know her UFC record is not good. You can probably say she doesn't know how to win fights. She's got 3 wins in the UFC with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losses, 3-6. People are wondering why she's still around. A lot of those are split decisions. A lot of those are close. I mean, she took Irina Donna to a split decision. She took Liz Carmouse to a decision, outstruck Liz, just got taken down. She lost to Antonia Shevchenko, which is an ugly loss. But, Wu Yanan's a good win. She TKO'd Wu Yanan and then lost a split decision over Jocelyn Edwards her last time out where she just couldn't really get it going on the feet and then was just kind of spamming takedowns at that point. Give me Padova. Give me the experience. Give me the dog. Money line play only for me. I mean, yeah, the over is probably going to be very large in the spot, but I like Padova because I don't really think Aylin Perez is, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of fucking horny dogs out there that want Aylin Perez to win so they can see her shake her ass. But, that those guys need to know that there's free porn on the internet. You don't need to watch a fighter shake her ass, with short time. But give me Lucy Padova. All right, next up, Nicholas Mata, minus 125 versus Trey Ogden, plus 105. This is interesting to me because I Nicholas Mata, I think, is a guy who is pretty talented. He's 2-2 in the UFC. I think his hands are pretty good. But his 2 losses are by knockout. His 2 losses come by getting clipped and not being able to recover and getting finished. You know, he knocked out Cameron Van Camp and he knocked out Joe Lowry. Or, excuse me, beat Joe Lowry. Didn't knock him out. Who? Right? Who? Jim Miller knocked him out and Manuel Torres knocked him out. Both solid, solid guys. Mata does have power. He's got some good boxing. You know, his ground game is a work in progress. Not like the world-class ground game. But chin and defense just aren't there. And you look at Trey Ogden. This is a guy whose career's kind of got tossed around a little bit because of the whole James Krause thing. I believe he took over Krause's gym, or at least at one point did. I think he has his own gym, so he's kind of coaching and training. But he's a thick boy. He's strong. You know what I mean? He shut down Daniel Zellhuber when they fought. You know, he lost to Ignacio Bohomendez, but, Ignacio's a stud, right? But Trey Ogden, good grappler, thick guy. And I think if he lands on Mota, it's going to be a problem. I think Mota has the better technique. I think Mota is faster, but Trey Ogden's awkward, and if he lands on you, he can hurt you because he's just built different. He also has a great chin, and if he really wants to, he can get the fight to the ground and work there. Mota's fights, he had a 1 decision win on the contender series. Other than that, they haven't made it past the second round, so you're looking at the over-under here. I'm sure set at 1.5. Where are we at here? Yeah, 1 or over 2.5. I'll give me the under on this as well. Under 2.5 is plus 105. Add that to my card as well. I'm going to go ahead and write that down so I don't lose that. Under 2.5. I figure they set this at 1.5. I know Ogden isn't the biggest finish in the world, but I'm telling you, if he lands on Mota or takes a fight to the ground, he can finish this fight. Under 2.5 at plus money. Gorgeous. So give me Ogden plus money. He's actually climbed now. I had him at plus 105. He's plus 114 right now. And then give me the under 2.5 at plus 105. We're just talking plus money after plus money after plus money, baby. Woo! That's what I like to talk about. Plus money. Let's keep the good times rolling. Next up, Usho Medic, plus 115. This line isn't available on DraftKings. I had to find this line. Bet Rivers had it. Bet MGM had it. Plus 115 versus, let's try to pronounce this guy's name, shall we? Okay. Whew, here we go. This is what everyone turned into. I have not watched footage of him, so I don't know how to pronounce the name at all. Mike Tybeck Orbaugh. Hold on, let me do that one more time. Mike Tybeck. Or by. I think that's it. Mike Tybeck or by. Oral by. I'm going to go or by. Yes. Usmanov versus or by. Or by taking this on short notice. 11-1-1. A couple people reached out to me like, hey, do you like, because I love Usmanov against Johnny Parsons. I thought Usmanov was going to piece up the slugger knot, even though I like the slugger knot a lot. I thought Usmanov had that one. This fight, Usmanov is in shape. I saw some pictures of him. He's ready. But this is a different fighter. This is a guy that's now, you went from a short, stockier fucking Thai guy against a guy who's going to want to take you to the ground and grapple fuck you, right? From one of those crazy stand countries, not crazy, but, you know, Kyrgyzstan or whatever. And, you know, he's got a motor. You know, he's got skills. You know, he's fucking incredibly strong. Probably a combat sambo world champion, because they fucking all are. So he gets the favorite. He gets the minus 140. I didn't look up any tape on Orbai. And this is 100% gut money betting. I'm not betting against Usmanov at plus 115. I think his striking is very good. I think his takedown defense is going to need to be on display here. I think he's confident enough in himself. I also think it's a little bit like, well, I'm not a main card fighter yet. I'm not a co-main event fighter yet. I need to take a fight no matter who they asked, who is in front of me. I need to fight. It is probably one of those things, too. And unfortunately, it's a money thing, but I like Usmanov here, plus 115. I could switch my pick. I never do, but I'm going to go Uso. And I'm going to look up Orbai a little bit after this and maybe retract what I say, but I don't want to give out a pick and then fucking switch on it. I don't want to be like that. If I sit in this front of this camera and I give you a pick and I put my name on it, that's a pick. I don't want to switch. I'm not one of those guys that switch. If I switch, I tell you, right? You know, you just can't do that in this game. All right, next up, Amanda Ribas, -238 versus Luana Pinheiro, plus 195. Another kind of odd line. A lot of love from Luana. Amanda Ribas is on a little bit of a skid here. You know, Ribas' big thing to me is her durability, you know. Macy Barber got her, and Manny Hayes got her. She got knocked out before the UFC as well. So durability is a little bit of an issue for me with Ribas. And Luana Pinheiro, she can strike. She can throw. She's pretty well-rounded, but she's just kind of – she's undefeated in the UFC, but she's just kind of, you know, she has a knockout win on the Contender Series, and then Randa Markos, you know, got DQ'd or whatever in a fight that was pretty much going Pinheiro's way. Pinheiro had already landed 5 takedowns. But – she just doesn't put enough volume out there. She lands a takedown. She's very control based. She won her last fight by split decision against Michelle Waterson Gomez, which I thought she lost. I'm going to go Ribas here. You know, I like Amanda Ribas in this spot, probably by decision. The over is always a good play here. As long as Amanda doesn't get just held down, which is a very possibility, she could just get held down. But I think Amanda is realizing people can take her down. She is good off her back. She has some arm bars. She has some submissions off her back. I like Amanda Ribas here over Luana Pinheiro. They used to like live together or something. There's some history between these fighters. So I think when they both accept it, I don't care who you are. I don't care what confidence level you are. If you live together and you've trained together and you both accepted a fight, that means one of you knows how that training session went. And one of you goes, I've gotten better, or I'm going to dominate her. You know what I mean? That's what's happening right now. I like Ribas in this spot here. I like her by decision. The over 2.5 is probably going to be juiced to the fucking gills. Not too bad. Over two and a half is minus 200. I could play that, you know, flirt with that a little bit. Yeah, that could be a nice little, if you want to add another parlay of the week or something on there, that'd be nice right there. Yeah. Give me the over as well. Over 2.5. I like that. I like that a lot. All right, next up. My sheet here, we got Peyton Talbot, minus 800, I think he is. I had him at 600, minus 800 versus Nick Aguirre, plus 550. Peyton Talbot is a fucking certified weirdo. John Anik when we prep for the Anakin Florian show, he always sends us like these bios. And like, there's like a, someone on the UFC does like an interview, like, what's your favorite this? What's your this? You know, whatever. You've seen him on Twitter. It's a little different than what the guy does on Twitter, but it's like a little more in depth. Kind of gets you know the fighters or whatever. And Peyton Talbot is a psycho. This guy is weird, right? I mentioned on the Anakin Florian show, this is a dude that's like, who's your favorite fighter? Me. You know, he's coming against Nick O'Grady, who got out-wrestled, out-manned, out-everything against Dan Argueta in his debut. And he comes from Chicago. Tough dude. 7-1, a little young to be in the UFC. But, you know, I don't know about him in the spot. People are going to probably play him because the number's so big. And Peyton Talbot is a striker, isn't a grappler. People think he's going to get out-wrestled. Reyes Cortez Jr., Tracy Cortez's brother, who he fought on the Contender Series, is a much better wrestler than Nick O'Grady. He's tougher. He's more durable. I think he's more rounded, more athletic. He's a tougher fighter than O'Grady. And Peyton Talbot only got taken down once, stuffed all the other takedowns, and landed 145 strikes. Probably should have put the guy out, but Reyes Cortez is tough. He's tough. He's a stud. He's got a good chin on him. He's got a good motor. That was second time trying out for the Contender Series. He wanted it bad. Peyton Talbot switches his stances pretty nice, striking pretty good, very young in his MMA career. He's going to get better here. Again, complete fucking nutball. He believes in himself. Minus 800 is something that I can't find myself getting to. I might play him by finish. Let's just even see what that is. By finish, by KO. I don't think he'll submit it, Weary, but Peyton Talbot by KO plus 100. There's your play. That's how you play it. You play it by knockout. Probably will more likely be a decision win because I don't know if Talbot, Aguirre proves to be pretty tough, and I don't know if Talbot has that finishing ability yet, but he does have some good weapons. Give me Talbot, minus 800. It's crazy. No thank you, but give me Talbot. Next up, Jordan Levitt, plus 170 versus Chase Hooper, minus 205. This fucking fight, man, has got my brain in a pretzel. If you haven't seen the Anakin Florian yet, I made a big deal about picking Chase Hooper because I've never picked Chase Hooper before. You know, 19 years old and been in the UFC. He's been in the UFC for 5 or 6 years now, probably 5 years now. I think he's 24 years old. He's starting to come in his own a little bit. Still needs to work on his strength. He was a kind of a pretty big dude for 145, but he's lean. Maybe needs to put a little more muscle on. I think right now he's just probably trying to concentrate on his skills as opposed to his body. Still growing into it. Still a very young fighter. And I like Chase Hooper. You know, when he gets to the ground, he's so long that even off his back, he hits switches and he switches positions and he scrambles really well. And Jordan Levitt is also good on the ground as well. You know, he gave Patty a little bit of a problem in the beginning, but then he just completely faded and Patty took over. And Patty, as much as you want a dog on him, is pretty good on the ground. That's his bread and butters when he gets it to the ground. But, you know, I like Chase Hooper on my initial read. And as I sat back and thought about it, I said, you know what? I don't know how much this is going to hit the ground. Chase Hooper's last time out landed 145 strikes. Looked good, looked active. Not a lot of power there, but all straight punches. He kicks. He has volume for days. And his cardio is elite. You know, and he's tough. He's a tough kid. The Steve Garcia fight is a tough fight to watch, but he's a tough kid. And he got Jordan Levitt, who is very precise and measured with what he throws. His striking is not very good, but he is strong and good in the clinch. Knees, body locks in the clinch. He's very good. I can see him controlling the clinch. If it goes to the ground, I can see him being safe. It's going to be kind of a sloppy fight. I think it's going to go to decision. I'm liking the over here. The over 2.5 is minus 145. I think that's a great number. You know, I think Levitt could also maybe sneak in like a knockout, like a knee up the middle or something like that. I'm on Levitt here, plus 170 as well. Give me another dog. I'm going to play Levitt and I'm going to play the over, not in a parlay, both separate bets. Cause I want to, you know, I don't want to fucking waste all my ammo on that, but, give me Jordan Levitt. I switched to Jordan Levitt. Some people on Twitter, when I announced it on Twitter, it was a mixed reviews. Some people like Hooper, some people like Levitt. I landed on Jordan Levitt. You know, Kenyon Florian picked Levitt, and I have a big lead, so I should have maybe let Kenny try to come back or something like that. But I think it's going to be Jordan Levitt here. I just, for some reason, I see him hurting Chase Hooper in the clinch or whatever. Do I have, like, if he hurts him in the clinch, right, if like, what I just said happens, like, I know, listen, guys, this is my life. I study MMA. I love it, whatever. But if he hurts and maybe even puts away Chase, let's just say he hurts him in the clinch with a knee or something. Maybe not put him away. Even if he puts him away, it doesn't matter. Like, you guys got to, I mean, this is, I have, like, you know, I'm like psychic or something, right? I got like a crystal ball or something like that. I don't, you know what I mean? That's great. If I get that right, that's pretty fucking crazy. You know what I mean? If you ask some cappers, they get something right like that every weekend. You know what I mean? Like some guys are just so fucking delusional. All right, next up, coming event, Jake Matthews +245 versus Michael Morales -305. I like Michael Morales here. Listen, I feel like, you know, John corrected me on the Anakin Florian. I was a little short with Jake Matthews. I don't like taking a long time to talk. I try to keep my shit short, right? And I think I did shortchange Jake Matthews for sure. I like Jake Matthews. His performance over Andre Filho, I love that performance. He was the next guy coming out of Australia. And up and down UFC victories, but he has more wins than losses. So I think I shortchanged him that bit. And I guess the point I should have made, which I didn't, and I try to correct myself later in the show, was that I just don't think Jake Matthews has that big win yet, right? I think he's extremely talented. He's young, but I don't think he has that big win yet. His boxing's very good. Defense, toughness there. He gets clipped a little bit. He has been put down before. And then his ground game is pretty good, but it's not like super world class. He's just a pretty well-rounded fighter. Then you got Michael Morales, who's a big boy for this weight class, who was coming into his own. He's a young dude, and I'm slimed him up already. I'm all Morales. This is a guy who has a little uneasy to take because Kenny likes Jake Matthews. I see some people picking Jake Matthews. He's cashed as an underdog before, which is something that cappers and everyone that tracks these things love. He's been an underdog. He's won before. Michael Morales is still a little unproven. And Jake Matthews has real skills, but I just like Mike Morales here. I think he's a bully him around. I don't know how this fight's going to go. I don't have a crystal ball for this one. I don't see how this will happen, but I just see Michael Morales as being a better fighter everywhere. The bigger, stronger guy, if it goes to the ground, I think he'll be all right. If it stand up, I think he'll be all right. Leg kicks could play a factor on Morales' side as well. Chopping Matthews up a little bit. Give me Michael Morales. 305 is a good number. Put him in a parlay. Shoo. Main event time. Brandon Allen Allen versus Paul Craig. Brandon Allen -425 versus Paul Craig +330. Lines come down just a little bit. Just a little bit. So I posted this on my online, on my Twitters. You guys, if you watch it, you know I picked Brandon Allen. I put a 5-unit whack on him, and I put a 5-unit whack on him in real life. I took all my winnings from last week except 1.7 change units. I put it all on Brandon Allen. This is a lightning bolt type fight. Extra lightning. I felt like fucking Thor getting struck by lightning when this line came out. I know it's hefty. I know it's big. But I think Brandon Allen, listen, Paul Craig is a stud. I love that he paints his face. Got a heart. He did a great Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. An even better Christopher Walker impersonation. Considering I can't even understand what he says half the time, but he pulled those out. Been in UFC forever, crafty guy, good off his back. I mean, he's doing grappling outside of MMA. He's a solid dude, seems like a good dude as well. He's got some big wins over some, I mean, he got Ankalaev, he got Jamal Hill. Now he's at 85, second fight at 85. He looked phenomenal physically in his debut against Andre Munez. But it's just, and he's got the body to be a good striker. He's tall, he's lanky, he's kind of like skinny ripped, right? But the striking is just so bad. And I think that's because he works so much on the ground that there's just not enough time for him to put in real striking hours. Brandon Allen is the most well-rounded fighter. He's gonna fight, and Brandon Allen's a finisher. Brandon Allen's a killer in there. He lands good strikes. He stays within himself. He's smart. He's good on the ground. He cemented Munez when they fought, which was a feather in his cap. I like Brandon Allen so big in this spot. It's a 5-unit whack in real life. Second biggest bet I've ever made. Of course he's in the slime ball. Of course he's in the fucking mortal lock. I'm all in on all in Brandon Allen, right? I've doubted Brandon Allen before. He's fought Chris Curtis. Look, you know, got knocked out. Fought Sean Strickland before that, got knocked out. But he's routed off these wins. He's confident. He wants these guys. He tells it like it is. And there's nothing more but to respect this guy. I mean, truly it is. It's a big number. I'm not sitting here putting my neck out for, you know, a small number. -425 is a big number. But it's a bet I've already placed. I'm confident. I'm a little bit nervous because I had a great week last week. And if he loses, then my great week has completely washed away. But if he wins, and I think he's going to win, you know, we're just doing this all weekend. You know what I mean? All right. So recap, Mortal Lock, Brendan Allen, Dog Lock, Jonathan Britto, send him home, Christian Leroy Duncan. Those are my three locks. Green Hammer, Lucas Alexander versus Jaka Sari. Under 1.5 at +124. Slimeball parlay. Listen, it took me a little bit to build this because it's not fucking juicy. The three iterations I had, and I haven't placed it yet because one of the guys is not available in my book. So the slimeball parlay is going to be Christian Leroy Duncan. It is going to be Michael Morales. It's going to be Brendan Allen. We're coming in at a measly, a whopping +102. The first couple iterations were like -121, -115. I had to drop a couple guys that I did like as well for the parlay, but we got the plus money. Again, I can't guarantee you this is going to be plus money on your book or whatever, but right now, currently, if you use this on a different book, their main color is blue. I don't say their name because they're scumbags, but their main color is blue. If you place that parlay right now, it's +102. So that's what it is, slime ball parlay, +102. I got to get a win. This is going to be 3 weeks in a row we win the slime ball. I don't think I've ever done that before. Green Hammers hit a little rut, but we're back this week. All the locks are cashing. I cashed all my locks last week for 3-3 on the locks. That's it. That's the show. I love you guys. Follow Brian Peachey MMA on Twitter's, Instagram as well. Hit that fucking subscribe button. We're trying to get to 1,600. Go to johninc.com. Buy this shirt. A lot of my friends and family bought this shirt because my stupid face on it. But again, they got tons of other merch over there that's dope, that helps out the show. We're pumping our content. Who the fuck doesn't like John Anik, huh? Let's go.
Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Peachey. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Peachey yet again. Motherfuckers. Next with our man Brian Peachey.